according to the Red Cross, less than 2% of the world's asylum claims are made in Australia. So what reason does that So what reason does the government have for reopening the Christmas Island Detention Centre?
Yeah, so this is really mostly just about politics. So, I mean, the need that was cited by the government relates directly to the medical evacuation legislation that recently went through Parliament. And as you foreshadowed in your introduction, the government's claiming that that bill will, A, result in people who need medical attention coming to Australia, which is certainly true, but also somehow acts as a pull factor for future arrivals. And now, dealing with both those contentions, individually, the first one, in terms of the number of people being transferred here for medical attention, it's going to be, you know, in the hundreds. There's only a total of about 1,000 people on Nauru and Manus right now, 1,000 refugees. So, you know, the contention that we need to somehow reopen a remote immigration detention facility to deal with this very small number of people is just nonsense.
Mm.
We've brought over more than 800 people for medical treatment, refugees and their families, in the last couple of years, and they've easily been absorbed into the existing detention capacity. So it's really about sending a signal to the Australian public and the electorate that tries to undermine Labor's standing in terms of its ability to control our borders.
Mm. And what does reopening actually mean? Does the government intend the centre to be fully operational again, or is it just a just-in-case kind of measure?
Yes, so it was really just waiting to see the answer to that over the past, you know, sort of 5 days since the announcement was made. In the tenant estimates, the questions put to the secretary of the department seem to indicate that it will be fully operational. And in the first instance, anyone brought over for medical treatment from Nauru and Manus Island will go to Christmas Island, which is really, I mean, quite preposterous and undermines the entire purpose of the act. The medical evacuation bill, which was to get people access to high-quality medical treatment. And that just doesn't exist on Christmas Island. It's a remote community with very limited medical facilities. So it's a big tough you to the Labor, the crossbench, refugee advocates, and these poor refugees who are waiting urgent medical treatment.
Mm. Well, according to the Australian Research Council, refugee resettlement in regional Australia has been largely successful and shown high rates of community integration. Should we be investing more into these programs instead of sending our refugees and asylum seekers to other more densely populated countries like the US?
Look, absolutely. I think we have a very long track record over many, many decades of successfully integrating refugees in regional areas. And as long as there's a few things to be cognizant of when doing that. So it's very important to give refugees agency about where they want to live and where they want to go. And it's important to take into account their existing support networks, because often they'll have family members or friends living in Australia. But if you can take those things into account and settle them in regional areas, you're correct. The research has shown that their happiness and their sense of being welcome is generally much higher in those areas than in the big cities.
Mm. Well, the government seems to be implying that the new medevac legislation that we spoke about before could harm our border control measures. Could the rhetoric of Australia's borders being diminished do harm in itself?
Absolutely. So this is something that I've been talking about for a very long time. I first put that idea in an article I published with Professor Mary Crock from Sydney Law School back in 2010, and that was when the coalition was in opposition. And we basically argued there that the part of the pull factor, an increase in the number of boat arrivals at that time, was due to all the rhetoric coming from the coalition about the government, the Labor government at the time, losing control of borders, and that, you know, these signals are very powerful in terms of decision-making of asylum seekers and people smugglers in our region. And the situation now is just far more concerning and far more acute. But it's not the opposition saying we've lost control of our borders, it's the sitting government. And so, you know, I wrote another op-ed this week that I think is a really reckless signalling on the part of the government.
Very much. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Daniel.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.